Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Serious, right? They weren't talking about any extension prior to that rumor getting out. It's all of a sudden, as soon as the Lakers want you, Steve Ballmer thought to himself, probably not a good look to lose your coach.
Wonder who put that rumor out in the first place, Doc Rivers. That would be the greatest.
That happens all the time.
They'll leverage
leak stuff out for that purpose. All of a sudden, it gets Ballmer's feet moving a little bit over towards Doc. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we need to get something done.
That would be really easy to move, though. I would love that because he doesn't really have to move offices, right? Or maybe just across the hall.
He has to move, like, down the hall, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
One of the other quick NBA notes before we get to our trivia, and we do have a couple of lines open, so I want to get you people lined up. 833-288-0973. There are a couple of spaces available for you to have a chance to win these Mexican national team soccer tickets. So call now. Get yourself lined up. The other NBA note, James Harden last night scored 31 points against the Atlanta Hawks.
He pulled a Kobe.
That is no big deal. The big deal is that he's now scored 30 or more against every team in the league this year. Kobe was the only other guy who did that?
I don't know if he was the only other guy. I'm pretty sure he did
it. Yeah, I don't think Michael or Bird ever did it. But Harden, 30 points against every team in the league. So not one team in the league can say, hey, we shut him down.
We held him. We held him down.
Not one team can say that.
He got 30.
Yes, in one season, to be able to do it against every single team. That's pretty impressive. Because there's
really
a lot
impressive.
Of teams you only play two times. The whole other conference, you only play them twice. So you only have a couple of chances to do it. Anyway, all right, that's the NBA stuff. NCAA basketball tournament, we'll get into that at the top of this hour. But right now, Scraby, you want to tell us about your new game, which is Sweeping the Nation?
It's called Chris.
Sweeping the Nation.
I thought the same thing. I mean, someone called me from Maine, and they're like, can I steal that idea? It's called Chris versus the Fans.
It's time, San Diego, for you to brush up on your trivia knowledge and take on the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm starting a rumor.
Murmur.
I'm starting a rumor that I am discontinuing from this particular segment until
you get a better
the open has changed.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, Tony.
I think the open is kind of whack.
It's so cheesy.
It is kind of cheesy.
That it
it's a game show.
It's a weak game show though. We want music of a great game show.
I don't know what the difference is. Game shows all have the same music.
No, they don't.
Okay, fine. I will redo it. Next week.
Look at how next week.
I've heard his feelings. It's okay. I'm okay with you guys trashing the open.
I've heard his feelings.
All right, let's get to this game because we don't have so much time. All right. First contestant will be Trevor out in my hometown, Poway. Trevor, how you doing today?
What's up?
Trevor, you ready to win these soccer tickets?
I'm pretty bad at trivia, if I'm going to be honest, but why not give it a go, right?
Give it a go. I might miss the questions, and you might wind up with it. You never know.
Here we go. Question number one.
Sounds good to me.
Here we go, Trevor. Question number one. How many NBA championships did Michael Jordan win with the Chicago Bulls?
Shoot. I'm more of a football guy, but let's see.
Football's not going to help you on this one, Trevor.
Yeah. I'm going to say four.
Four.
That is incorrect. Nah. You're still in this.
Not really. Sorry, Trevor. I can't miss a Chicago Bulls question.
No,
that would
you
be.
Can't.
That would
no,
make
yeah,
me look
you're good.
Bad.
To get it.
Yeah. Six championships for Michael Jordan.
That's right.
Six for six.
Sorry, Trevor.
Sorry,
again
Trevor.
Tomorrow, brother.
All right, that opens a line for somebody else to get in. 833-288-0973. All right.
All right, Vince in Pacific Beach. How are you today, brother?
Vince, you there?
Hey, Vince.
No,
hey,
you know.
There he is.
There he is. Okay.
Vince, how you doing, man?
Hi, Vince.
I'm great. Thank you.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Which American football team won the first two Super Bowls?
Oh, man.
They named the trophy after their coach.
Okay, so we're going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
Good one, Vince. All right, you're on a roll.
All right, question number two. What sport did astronaut Alan Shepard play on the moon in 1971?
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say golf.
I felt he was going to say that.
I thought he was going to say it too.
You were correct. You got it.
All right.
Oh, wow, this game is going to be over quick maybe.
Well, Vince can wrap it up right here if he gets this one. Or I miss it.
Each stage gets harder, and these third questions are very difficult.
All right, we go.
All right, Vince, good luck.
Which 1980s NBA player set the record for most assists by a player during his rookie season? And listen, it's per game.
Wait, I need a reprise of the question.
Which 1980s NBA player set the record for most assists per game in his rookie season?
So it was a one-year assist record.
A one-year?
For 1 year, he averaged the most assists of any rookie. That is a... You're in pretty good shape here, Vince, because you're going to probably get luck out. I'm no way I'm going to get this. But you can get it.
I'm going to say Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
That's a good guess, but... incorrect.
Yeah, the reason that wasn't the best guess is only because Steve Nash did, I don't think, played in the 1980s.
He did not.
This is so obvious that it's Magic Johnson, who was a rookie in the 1980s, but his rookie season was 1980. He would have had to set the record that year. And this is also the third question, and Scraby makes them way tougher than that. So if I guess Magic Johnson, I'm probably going to miss it. But I will guess Magic Johnson because I really can't think of anybody else.
That answer is...
Oh! Yes! He wins! Vince is like jumping up and down. He's all right.
Congratulations, Vince. You're going to that... was it Chile?
Chile-Mexico
game.
Yeah, that's your... Yeah. You got the tickets, Vince.
By the way, the answer to that was Mark Jackson. 10.6
that's a ridiculous assists question.
Per game.
That's absurd. Vince, congratulations. Stay online there. You are a trivia winner today, and you will get the two tickets. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow at 3:45.
We have tickets to Dustin Lynch. We could take one caller right now if you want to do that.
Oh, we have time for one more?
Yes, all right, to Dustin Lynch.
All right, John, I think.
John in El Cajon.
If you're still there, John, you can get a shot here.
Cool.
Oh, all right, he's there,
there
John.
He is. John's there.
How you doing today, John?
Hi, John.
We're doing good.
Continuing the game just for you, John.
All right, here we go. I'm trying to find one I haven't asked yet. Here we go.
I thought I deleted all of them.
No. Unless I'm looking at a different one.
Hang in there, John. Don't worry about it. I know that the pressure is going to be growing the longer Tony makes you wait.
Ask the first second question.
The first second question.
Oh, my God.
What player holds the record for the most consecutive games played in an NFL game? In the NFL.
Most consecutive games played by an NFL player. Is that it?
Yes.
So basically,
this also includes playoffs.
That's a tough one.
That is kind of a tough one for the first question.
Can I talk aloud like Chris does and kind of like...
Absolutely.
Like theorize with you guys?
That's what makes Chris so good at this.
I think it comes down to one of two guys, either Favre or Manning, but I'm having a blank on which one has the longer streak. I think it was Favre, but I think Manning broke it. So I'm going to say Peyton Manning, but it might be Favre. I'm going to say Peyton Manning. Okay,
so you're saying Peyton Manning? Is that your final answer?
Manning. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning.
Oh, Chris.
Oh. Oh. John, you should have. Never mind.
Well, yep. Chris gets a chance to steal.
I get a chance to steal
and
now.
Eliminate.
Well, I was going to go with this guy, Peyton Manning or Brett Favre. And it's not Peyton Manning, so I'm going to go with Brett Favre. Sorry, John.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sorry, John. Okay, we got one more John, I think. Or do we have time?
No. Scraby, we only have time for one because we
calls the game.
But
you're like an umpire calling a game on due to rain. You're just a mean person.
Due to rain.
Due
right.
to rain?
Yeah, because football games shouldn't be called
due to
rain.
We have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. we probably would have missed the break, but hey.
If this, okay, here. If this next person that you pick up gets one question, they get Dustin Lynch tickets.
All right. Did John from North
Park? John, you still there from North Park?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, John, this is a straight up chance for you to win tickets to see Dustin Lynch.
Here we go. What is the only city to win three major sports championships in the same year?
My goodness.
Boston.
He said Boston. It's not, huh?
It's Chris, not. Wait, hold on, hold on. Chris, do you know?
I don't think anybody's done this, but I think you're going to be wrong, basically. Because I think what you're doing is... anyway.
No, there's an answer.
Well, it's not San Diego.
Good guess. Good elimination.
All right. What was it? Three championships in one season?
In 1 year, yes.
In 1 year. Yeah, see, you're okay. I'll say it's either Los Angeles or New York. So I flip a coin and I'll say New York.
Oh, he wins the tickets.
John, you win the tickets. You what tickets did John win?
Dustin Lynch.
Dustin Lynch at Harrah's Resort, SoCal on March 31st. Say on the line, John. Congratulations. What city is it? I guarantee you Scraby's wrong, but go
it
ahead.
It was in 1935.
Oh, my goodness.
Detroit.
1935?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
The Lions, the Tigers, and the Red Wings.
Wow. Oh my. I had no idea of that. All right, I'm going to look it up anyway because I don't believe it.
My new goal is just to keep stumping Chris.
We're going to step away and take a break. When we come back, we talked about the possibility of Doc Rivers becoming the head coach of the Lakers. Guess what? It's not happening.
Not happening. We also got to check into that NCAA tournament, Tony Gwynn Jr.
We'll do both when we come back. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I remember talking to our next guest, Jerry Palm, many years ago when the Aztecs were making their very first big run with the Kawhi Leonard team. And if I recall correctly, as we bring Jerry Palm onto the program here, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan, Jerry, you were really behind that Aztec team of 2010. And I remember us disbelieving the fact that they could ever get like a 2 or a 3 seed, something like that. And you said, no, they deserve it. And they ended up getting it. So I've always been a big Jerry Palm fan since then. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
You're fantastic.
You know, because he didn't just take a look at the little guy and say, hey, I'm only going with big name teams. The Aztecs deserved it that year. And had a hell of a year.
That happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah, right.
It does. It's, you know, I mean, Gonzaga hasn't been really a little guy for a while. But they had, you know, when they were not as well-respected and accomplished as they are now, had to build themselves up to that point as well. And New Mexico got a 3 one year not that long ago. And it can happen. And Houston got a 3 this year from a conference similar to the Mountain West.
Jerry, where do you come down on the playing games?
Well, I'm old school, and by old school, I mean when I was in when I was at Purdue, the Big Ten was 10.
Right.
So, so I value the regular season championship in the Big Ten. We were one of the last leagues to come along with a conference tournament, and I think the 64 team bracket was perfect. However, if you're going to do play-in games, the NCAA does it as well as you possibly can. Dayton is a fantastic host for this event. They really embrace it. They sell it out. They treat the teams, you know, as well as you possibly can, and make them feel like they're part of the NCAA tournament. It's they do it. They do it very well. But I'd go back to 64 in a minute.
With the 68, though, what's happened, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, is it seems like every year one of these 11 seeds that wins a play-in game then goes on to make a little march in the tournament. I believe it was Syracuse last year. I know VCU got all the way to the Final Four with it.
Done it. Yep. And that was the first year of it.
Right. So there's almost an advantage to playing one of these games, even though you're an underdog in your second game.
Kind of, yeah. They're not always 11 beats, by the way. It's just wherever they happen to fall in the 1 to 68 rankings, but they're probably most often 11s. It's every year. In fact, that's true. Every year since the beginning of the 68 teams and the four play-in games, one of the at-large winners has gone on to win at least one more game. And I think it could happen again this year. I really like Belmont. I didn't predict that they would make the tournament. That was the one team I missed. But they got a great draw for an opportunity to win, keep winning, because they're going to play a Maryland team that's got an NBA guy in the center. Bruno Fernando, terrific. However, they don't do a very good job of taking care of the ball. And in the NCAA tournament, when possessions are a little more scarce and a little more valuable, not being able to take care of the ball could be a problem for staying in the tournament. And then if they get by Maryland, they get another shot at LSU, a team that's dealing with off-court stuff. They've got the on-court talent to make a deep run in the tournament, but you wonder what the off-court distractions may do to them.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Jerry, I got to ask, who is your team this year that you think nobody's talking about that can make a long run in this tournament?
Long run. So if you're talking about potential Final Four type of run, we're not going to find an 11 seed this year. I mean, Loyola's not happening again.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, if it happened every year, it wouldn't even be news, right?
Maybe not even Final Four, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, around that age.
All right. Well, I like Belmont to do that. I picked Belmont to the Sweet 16. I don't have anyone else in the Elite Eight. I got only ones and twos because the top of the bracket is so strong this year that the ones and twos are really good teams. I mean, you could find, I think you could reasonably argue for Florida State as a four, probably underseeded as a four, to, you know, maybe get to the Final Four. I mean, that's a really good team and a tough matchup because they're long and athletic and interchangeable guys, and they're deep. They play 10 or 11 guys. You saw them give Virginia trouble in the ACC tournament. But, you know, and maybe Purdue is a three, could make that kind of a run if Carson Edwards plays well. You know, with good Carson Edwards, Purdue's offense is hard to defend. It's because the other guys can all play too, but if Carson Edwards is, you know, shooting the ball well and scoring 25 to 30 points, Purdue's going to score 80 on you, and then good luck. But, you know, they have produced Carson Edwards has been hit and miss down the last month of this season, and if he plays like he did against Minnesota, which is 4-for-17 shooting and 6 turnovers, Purdue's not going to win too many games.
Yeah. Jerry, go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
And then Houston would be the other one out of the American Conference that probably nobody's even talking about as a three seed. I mean, they got to go through a region with North Carolina and Kentucky, but that's a better team than people think.
Yeah. Don't bring up Houston around here, though. We're still upset about that first round game last year. We felt like we could have won that one. I'm just kidding. Jerry Palm is with us from CBS Sports. He is just a genius on the NCAA tournament bracket. So you picked 67 of the 68 teams correctly to get in. I think that's pretty impressive right there. That's not too shabby. Tony brought up a team yesterday when we were talking, and that's the defending national champion, Villanova.
Yeah.
I asked Tony, I said, let's pick a couple of Cinderellas, and Tony goes, how about Villanova? And I go, yeah, that'd be a tremendous Cinderella story, winning back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways it would be because they're seated so low. Why are they so low?
Well, they just, you know, they lost four guys to the NBA last year. And, you know, and unless you're Duke or Kentucky, those guys aren't growing on trees.
Right.
And then they come back, though, and they win the Big East outright. It's a down league this year, in part because Villanova's not as good as Villanova has been. But they still won the league outright. They still won the tournament championship. Jay Wright's an incredible coach. And by the way, they could play Purdue in the second round for, you know, a shot at the Sweet 16. A lot of people are picking St. Mary's to beat them. It's like an upset special. I don't know about that. I like St. Mary's. I didn't pick that one. I like Villanova to win that game, but I don't think another national championship is in the offing for this team. They're not good enough to make that kind of run, but you know, win 2-3 games, maybe. Sure.
What about a team like Buffalo? I've got a chance to see them play a couple times this year. They were impressive for a team that is coming from a smaller conference.
Yeah, and they got a good seed. They're a 6. They get by, I think they get the winner of Arizona State and St. John's from the play-in game tonight. They're certainly capable of winning that game. That 6 seed is legitimate. They're a top 25 team. Won a game in the tournament last year, have most of those guys back. So they're certainly capable of a Sweet 16 type of run. I think the Texas Tech matchup in the second game, if it happens, Texas Tech is a grinder, and Buffalo kind of likes to play a little more free-flowing, so they're going to have to be able to dictate their style against Texas Tech if they're going to beat them.
Jerry Palm on the SDCCU hotline talking NCAA tournament. We could ask you about all 67 teams, and I would enjoy your comments. Jerry, just – the West Coast in general, I mean, we had the UC Irvine coach on last night just because he's the only representative we have in Southern California. St. Mary's gives us 2 teams from the state of California.
Right.
And the Pac-12 is obviously coming off of a miserable not only season this year, but 0-3 in the tournament last year. So what's happened to West Coast basketball? Is it cyclical or is there something to this?
Well, it is. Things do tend to be cyclical. Everybody goes through a down cycle, but it seems like when the Pac-12 does, they really they're really advanced at the down cycle.
They are.
There's only one solution. You know, get better players and coach them up.
Yeah,
there's no substitute for talent on the floor. Really, the most talented team, pure talent on the roster, is UCLA, who I think started 5 top 50 recruits this year and couldn't get them to play together.
Yeah.
And Steve Alford ended up getting fired. Washington had a great conference season, played 4 pretty good teams in non-conference play and couldn't beat any of them. Took Gonzaga to the wire at Gonzaga, which is, you know, that's probably their best win, is losing at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I'm going to see them. I'm going to Columbus, so I'll see Washington play Utah State. And I'm looking forward to that. That's actually got one of the better first round individual matchups in Sam Merrill for Utah State, a great offensive player, and Matisse Dybul, the Washington Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Looking forward to seeing them go head to head. It's just, you know, Oregon won the league. Dana Altman did a great job getting that team hot late. But, you know, you've got a 9 seed in Washington that they probably didn't deserve. You've got an 11 or a 12 for Oregon, and Arizona State's in a play-in game. So they could go 0-3 again.
Yeah, they certainly could. Jerry, I wish we had more time. I will. I am looking at your bracket right now. Jerry is a Duke guy. And we said, look, you're either going to pick Duke or you're going to pick against Duke. It's kind of like a 50-50.
Taking Duke or you're taking the field?
You're taking the field, though, and you're going to go Duke. And I can't say I disagree with that.
I will say, though, that I have less confidence in that pick than just about everybody else picking Duke. I know what their flaws are, and I know what could beat them, but you know, they're still the most talented team. And can I say one more thing real quick?
Absolutely.
I'm an old school guy and a longtime baseball fan, Cubs fan. And Tony, your dad was one of my favorite players to see at Wrigley Field. Worth the price of admission. Best pure hitter I ever saw. Him and Rod Carew. And really enjoyed watching your dad play.
Jerry, I certainly appreciate the kind words. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Thanks so much, Jerry. Great having you on.
Take care, guys.
All right, there he is, Jerry Palm. I told you I like Jerry, right? I told you right off the bat. Jerry's a good dude, and he's fair to the West Coast, which is what I like, because I think a lot of these bracketology people don't, you know, they ignore the West Coast. He's right. The West Coast stinks right now, but when the West Coast is good, he gives them their due, I appreciate that.
I liked his fix. Better players, coach them up.
Yeah, simple, just get some better players.
Coach them up.
That's it. That's it.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
517. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Gwynn and Chris.
You hurt yourself over there?
I smashed my finger in this thing right here. It made me mess my words up right there.
Trying to get the mic turned on. It could be a dangerous endeavor.
517. We haven't... We've been hitting a lot on baseball in the last few weeks. But we haven't really talked a lot about that team up north about 100 miles away in Los Angeles.
That's a shame.
Yeah, we really don't try to talk about them much, but one of my good buddies and one of my favorite teammates is an analyst there. So let's talk to my good buddy Jerry Harrison Jr. He joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Jerry, how are you, brother?
First of all, TG, I know you ain't hating on us up north here because you were my teammate in L.A. Okay, you bled Dodger blue at one point. I know your uncle, Chris, he bled Dodger blue.
He did.
Too, so don't you?
I'm not hating. I just said we hadn't talked to you in a while. That's all
it's,
I said.
It's all, but his point, Jerry, is the fact that he gets calls here down here on the show from people once in a while who apologize to him for all the heckling they gave him when he was a Dodger. So that's why he's trying to distance a little.
I hear it. And Tony was a really good player for the Padres back then, and he helped lead a 90-win team in San Diego. And then his pops was a decent player there in San Diego.
He was okay.
That sounds like the Jerry I know right there. Jerry, tell us a little bit about what's going on. We're getting close into spring. Obviously, you guys got two major, I don't want to say major, but two concerning injuries with Clayton Kershaw and Buehler. How is this organization dealing with that?
Well, right now they're dealing with Clayton Kershaw. I'll attack him first, kind of with kid gloves. You got to make sure Clayton Kershaw is 100%. Tony, as you know, the last 3-4 years, he's dealt with a variety of injuries, whether it was his back, his hip, his shoulder, his arm. He's had a different type of injury, you know, the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it could be a product of a lot of innings. You know, nobody's throwing more innings than Clayton Kershaw the last 6 or 7 years. It could be taking its toll. So, you know, they're making sure that he had a little bit of a dead arm, a little shoulder inflammation at the start of spring training, so they shut him down. Now they're starting to build him back up. And, you know, Tony, as well as I do, you know, Clayton, once he gets the ball in his hand, he's full go. So you have to make sure you protect him from himself. And I think that's what the Dodgers are doing. Whether he starts the season on the DL, if he starts, you know, the throwing program that they want him to kind of slowly build him along, whether he comes back mid-April, late April, or early May, it really doesn't matter. You know, the Dodgers have a deep pitching rotation. You just got to make sure when you get Clayton back, he's 100%.
Yeah.
And with Walker Buehler, you know, I think with him is he's not injured. They just want to back him off as far as his workload because they know he's going to be throwing a lot of innings. He threw a lot of innings last year. He threw a lot of stressful innings, especially down the stretch for the first time in his career, pitching in the World Series, pitching in the playoffs. So they kind of wanted to ease him in, so to speak, and make sure he doesn't throw a whole lot of innings in spring training. So once he gets the regular season, which I'm hearing, you know, he'll be a starter in the first series. I don't know if he's going to pitch game 1, 2, or 3. But he's supposed to pitch, scheduled to pitch anyway. If not, he'll pitch the next series. So it's more with Walker Buehler making sure that innings are down in spring training.
Jerry Harrison Jr. joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, talking a little Los Angeles Dodgers. The thing I find a little interesting, Jerry, coming into this season, is that the Dodgers aren't really the big story in the National League West. I mean, the Padres actually stole a lot of their thunder by signing Machado, and a lot of people are looking at the Padres. And they're not picking the Padres to beat out the Dodgers, but it seems like the Dodgers are coming into this season a little bit more under the radar than they have recently, or am I just missing it?
No, you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, the Padres did an excellent job. And, Tony, we talked about this. We talk a lot.
Yeah.
About how the Padres have been slow playing, you know, their guys, their young guys, and really that's what they needed to be doing the last 2 or 3 years. And when they see or they feel that their young guys are close, they'll go get out and they go get Eric Hosmer, a guy who knows how to win, and then they go get a superstar like a Manny Machado. So I think the Padres are going about it the right way. So to get a guy like a Manny Machado, to team him up with Fernando Tatis Jr., who I hear he's a stud, that's a pretty good left side of the infield. So, you know, I like what the Padres are doing, especially now. Are they going to compete for a wild card or division? That's yet to be seen. But you got to remember, nobody picked the Atlanta Braves.
That's true. That's very true.
To get to the postseason last year. Everybody thought they were 2 years away, but they came out of nowhere. So you can't take the Padres lightly anymore. I don't think the Dodgers will. I think the Rockies, in my opinion, scare me to death.
Yeah.
If they had any bullpen last year, they would have won the division. You know, I think they've tried to rectify things with their bullpen, and Bud Black is as good a manager as anybody. He'll fix some things. So right now, it's a neck-and-neck race between the Dodgers and the Rockies. The Padres are up and coming, and then the D-backs and the Giants, who, even though they're a little older, I think they're going to be bringing up the rear.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm on the same page with you. I think this Rockies team has a chance to win this division. The Dodgers made some moves during the offseason. They moved Puig, they moved Matt Kemp. You go out and sign A.J. Pollock. So they have a guy that can play center field, if healthy, every day. How does the rest of the outfield shake out? I mean, is Kike going to make appearances in the outfield still? I know you got Verdugo. Obviously, Jock is still there. How does the outfield play out?
Well, for a big market team, they are really taking a big risk on relying on their young guys. You know, they're looking to see if Verdugo, can he be that everyday right fielder? Can Cody Bellinger possibly be that everyday player? You got to remember, last year, he was more of a platoon player.
Yeah.
You know, he hit it only against right-handed pitching and sat against left-handed pitching. Jock Peterson, the same thing. You know, Dave Roberts told everybody at the start of camp, listen, we want a lineup where they can go out there and play every day. It's up to you to dictate if you keep it. You can be that everyday player. So far, I believe Verdugo's had a pretty good spring training. Kike Hernandez has had an outstanding spring training. He doesn't want to see the outfield.
He's going to be if they leave him at second base. He's going to win a Gold Glove this year. I believe that.
And that's what I've said. You know, he's got the talent to win that Gold Glove at second base, and I think that's what he wants. He wants to stay at one position. He has the ability to do that. And I think if he becomes that everyday second baseman now, that allows CT3, Chris Taylor, to be that utility guy where he can kind of roam. So the Dodgers are trusting. They're giving the keys to a lot of these young guys, and they got to produce. And that's rare for a big market team. You know, we lost Manny Machado, Yasiel Puig, Yasmani Grandal, and Nat Kemp. Four guys that combined for over, 130-some home runs. Something crazy like that. Wow. So that's a lot of production that's been lost. So these young guys, if the Dodgers want to get back to where they were last year, they have to produce.
You know, you talked about the platooning situation, and Tony and I were talking about it a lot at the end of last season, that it was almost impossible for Dave Roberts to keep everybody happy because he was trying to mix all of these guys in and out of the lineup and sitting certain guys against righties and other guys against lefties. Do you think perhaps this season might be a little easier ride for Dave Roberts since they have trimmed the roster to a certain extent?
I think it can be. You know, first of all, it doesn't matter who you are, what team you have, it's never easy.
Yeah.
It's never going to be easy at the big leagues. But, you know, Yasiel Puig wanted to play every day. Matt Kemp wanted to play every day. And those are the two guys that were the outfielders. And you had guys like, you know, CT3, Kike Hernandez, Verdugo coming up trying to take at bats. Now, the onus is on the young guys. So he told them right away in spring training, if you want to be that everyday player, prove it. I'm not just going to give you that job. You got to go and prove it. And we want to make sure that we give you every opportunity to do so. And they have in spring training. I think Kike Hernandez has won that job. He's going to be in the lineup every day to start the season. And then, you know, just like any other manager, they're going to play, unless you're a superstar, unless you're Justin Turner or Corey Seager, other guys have to vie for playing time. And that's the way it's always been.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's fair. I think that's the way it should be handled. I think as long as guys know that going into spring, as you said, Dave has kind of set the ground rules. It's up to them to kind of step up. To one last question before we let you get out here. We talked about Clayton kind of probably not going to be ready for opening day. How does the rotation shake out? I saw Ross Stripling the other night. He looked great with that curveball. How does this five-man rotation shape out?
Well, as of right now, they have not named an opening day starter. I think it's between either Rich Hill or Ryu. I think they will get the nod on opening day. Then possibly two would be Walker Buehler. I think he will be ready to go. You mentioned Ross Stripling. He's a guy, if Clayton Kershaw, which Clayton Kershaw will not be part of the rotation to start the season, I think he's the next man up. He was an all-star last year. You know, he's kind of the super utility of the pitchers. You know, he could be your long man or he could be a starter. He's been outstanding.
this spring training. But here, there's a guy you guys need to, I know you heard about him.
Is this the May kid?
Urias.
Oh, Urias, that's right.
Let me tell you something. Julio Urias, this young man has topped out at 96, 97 so far this spring, has three pitches. He's vying for a spot. Now, a lot like Walker Buehler last year, they want to keep his innings down. But if innings weren't an issue, I think he would be the starter right now. But he's been that electric. So I really expect Urias to find a way, find his way into the rotation come June or July. He is just too talented. He's that good. So he has a chance.
It never fails that the Dodgers just seem to find pitching. It just grows on trees. There was a kid the other day against the Padres, this May kid that threw with the long locks. He was running it up to like 99 and with a dirty breaking ball to go with it.
He's another guy that's vying. Now, he may start in AAA, but he's trying to make the club, and you can't deny that type of talent.
No.
I mean, I believe he was the minor league pitcher of the year. This guy is dirty. So he's another guy that have a chance. But that's what you do. When you're an organization, you invest in young arms. And whether you invest in 10, 15, or 20, you got to figure when you have the right type of coaching in your system, two or three or four of them are bound to shake out.
Yeah.
And that's what you've had with the Dodgers the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, as usual, Jerry, fantastic breakdown of this ball club. And listen, you know, anytime we can get you on, man, we're going to have you on again. Thanks.
Well, he's got me riled up. I'm ready to root against the Dodgers again. Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to be heading to San Diego at one point in the next couple months. We got to get on that golf course, brother.
All right, man. You're going to drag me out there so you can make me look bad. I know you're going to have it on Instagram and everything, too, huh?
I don't want to make you look bad. I just want to take your money. That's it.
Deal. All right, Jerry, thanks for joining us, brother. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jerry.
Anytime, guys.
That was Jerry Harrison Jr. on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can save with a high-yield certificate account from SDCCU. For details, visit SDCCU.com. We have pro football in San Diego. Yes, we do. Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 97.3 The Fan, 619 The Time, San Diego Fleet. Taking us on a fun little ride so far this year. Still plenty to come. And joining us from the fleet right now, the man who caught the first touchdown pass in franchise history, wide receiver Nelson Spruce joins us. They can never take that away from you, Nelson. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. How has the league been as far as you're concerned now that you're about midway through the season? How has it met your expectations?
It's been, honestly, I think it's exceeded what I kind of had expected. I think everyone coming into it was just a little bit kind of skeptical about just kind of what it was going to be, you know, from a talent standpoint, from like a logistics standpoint. And everything's ran smoothly. The talent, I think, is definitely higher than a lot of people first initially anticipated. So I've been really happy with it so far.
Nelson, you caught the fleet's first touchdown pass in franchise history. Take us through that moment.
It was cool. We, you know, our running game, well, offensively, I feel like we kind of got off to a slow start in the beginning of the year. And, you know, that was kind of expected. Just, you know, we didn't really have much of an offseason to come together and kind of get on the same page. But our running game got going a little bit there in the second game, and then finally, we were able to get a throwing touchdown. So I think it was just kind of a culmination of a bunch of things coming together and us coming together as an offense.
Nelson, how have you enjoyed playing with an offensive mind like that of Mike Martz? I would imagine as a wide receiver, it's kind of like a dream come true getting to play for him.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I've learned a lot about kind of just like offense as a whole, the schematics of things, how to attack different defenses. And, you know, also our receiver coach is Oz Akeem, who played, right, you know, under Mike Martz. And so we watch a lot of film of The Greatest Show and all that. And just, I don't know, one thing that really stands out about them is just kind of the passion and energy they played with. And that's something that we've been, especially in the receiver room, trying to kind of bring back.
Nelson Spruce, fleet wide receiver, joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. I got to ask you a little bit about the love you got from Jared Goff. I mean, you scored the touchdown. I mean, what does it mean to get some love from a guy who started in a Super Bowl, for crying out loud?
Yeah, well, Jared's one of my good friends, actually. We're with the same agency. So before, we got I mean, obviously he was the number one overall pick, and then I signed as a free agent, but we came into the Rams together, and I still talk to him pretty much almost every day. So I was happy for him and the success that all those guys had this year. I was trying to get him to come down for a game, and he was supposed to. Maybe he'll make it for the last home game. We'll see.
Nelson Spruce is with us out of the University of Colorado, a Southern California kid from Thousand Oaks, and now playing with the San Diego Fleet. And, you know, Nelson, looking at your career so far, as you mentioned, Rams picked you up in 2016. You played well in the preseason and then had a calf injury, put you on the inactive list. And really since that injury, you haven't been able to find your way back to an NFL roster. You've been on some practice squads. But I got to believe that that dream is still very much alive for you, and you show up to work every day saying, hey, don't forget about me here now. I'm still capable of playing in the big time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think a lot of guys that join this league, that's kind of their end goal with it. And that's even something that the league has been, you know, since day one kind of preaching, is that this is a platform for guys that are kind of in my situation that are looking for a shot at the next level again. And I think, you know, the NFL is, definitely has their eyes on it. You know, they invested in the league and they partnered with them, and they're showing our games on NFL Network. So I'm excited about that. You know, just looking to put kind of like my best brand of football out there every time I get the opportunity.
Nelson, I'm a baseball guy, so this question is really right up my alley, at least. You and Christian Yelich come from the same high school, share the same birthday. What do you remember about Christian Yelich?
Well, I played baseball with Christian, and he actually was an infielder at Westlake.
Cutter Dykstra was on that team with you guys too, huh?
Yeah, he was there too. He's a little bit older. He was a senior when I was a freshman. But what I remember with Christian, obviously he made the transition to outfield, but at the plate, I've still never seen someone hit the ball so far. You know, in high school, we had the metal bat. And, I mean, it was just whatever I was doing, I would stop and watch him swing. He's got a pretty swing, and I'm happy for him and all the success he's had.
Well, you've had a lot of success in your career, and, I mean, we could run down some of the records that that Nelson Spruce set while he was at Colorado, Pac-12 records. He's got over 30 school records from Colorado, 19 catches in one game. That's a pretty good day's work, and, you know, continued good success. I hope it all works out for you, Nelson. I think every one of the Fleet players we've had on has been terrific, and I think all of you guys, you know, appreciate the opportunity you're getting, and we know it's just a matter of, you know, being seen by the right guy at the right time, and you can get your shot, and I don't see any reason why you can't get another opportunity at the NFL. So keep up the good work, and best of luck as the season goes along.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the support.
You
the
betcha.
The city's really kind of gotten behind us, and we're all really appreciative of that.
Very kind of you, Nelson. Thank you so
good
much.
Good luck the rest of the way, Nelson.
Good luck, man.
All right. See you guys.
Nelson Spruce.
You know,
somebody ought to pick him up. The Dolphins can have him right now. They don't have wide receivers as good as this guy.
You know what I appreciate?
Some of his stats are incredible.
About all the guys that we've had on. I don't even know if it's about me appreciating it. It's something I've noticed. It seems like their expectations were set lower than what they've actually got on the field. I think that's a good sign, because these guys are realistic. They're going into a new league. They know that it's not the NFL. So the fact that every guy that we've had on has had their expectations exceeded, I think that's a great thing for the AAF.
Yeah, it's good to hear that from all the players in the league. And I don't believe it's lip service.
No, I don't think so either.
They all feel that way. And they know that they're getting seen. They know that this is a great opportunity for them. And, I'm looking at this guy's career here and his college. I mean, he was off the charts good. He wasn't just like some wide receiver that they're picking up just for fun. I mean, this guy can play. And it seems to me that if he didn't get that calf injury, he could probably still be somewhere on that Ram roster.
Yeah. Listen,
you never know.
I think the AAF, the guys running it, I think they made the smartest decision not to come into this with a mindset of we want to be up underneath the NFL. And when you're not trying to compete with the NFL, it kind of brings everything kind of together in some sort, right? Because you're not trying to outdo them. You're just trying to be good enough so that they, you know, want to contribute to your league. And it's I think it was. It's been a great rollout for AAF for sure.
Having been somebody that's worked so much in, you know, minor league hockey with the Gulls and done all that for so many years, I really do have a lot of respect for all these kinds of guys because they do it for the love of the game. They don't get big paychecks. We talk about Antonio Brown all the time. There are thousands and thousands more Nelson Spruces out there than there are Antonio Browns. I mean, is a guy that has been signed to four different practice squads in the NFL in the last 2 years alone. Rams, Bears, Chiefs, Chargers. And he still has the dream of sticking. And I hope, you know,
Rams, Bears, like, Chiefs, Chargers, all playoff teams last year.
Yeah, he's been on every one of those rosters. So you'd like to see a guy like that make it because, I mean, not everybody just walks in and gets to be a first-round pick and sign a $43 million bonus that upsets Scraby.
I'm just sitting over here nicely.
Minding his own business. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, for a change, he was paying somewhat attention, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did hear.
He heard his name called. That's good. All right, what do we got coming? Oh, my goodness.
We got a matchup next.
You know, I think if you win, then you get to take on the fans for a while.
No.
No?
I don't have the knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know. You show it every Wednesday when we do Gwen versus Chris.
Yeah, that's once a week, man.
Our trivia contest is just battled out right to the wire every single time. We'll do it again when we come back. Stick around. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 97.3. The...
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.